The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John. When it was evening of the day of the resurrection, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus said to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Please be seated. I'm sure that most of you are aware of the latest Christian movie that's come out, The Case for Christ. It just came out a couple of weeks ago. It's based on a book by the same title by Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel is a pastor at the Woodlands Church north of Houston. The book and the movie talk about how he came to believe from many years of atheism. According to the Facebook page for the Woodlands Church, it just so happens that Strobel is preaching this morning. So ironically, you're in here listening to me talk about him, when you could be sitting in a large auditorium on the other side of town with 15,000 of your best friends listening to the man himself. Well, I'll try to do my best to represent him well. And I'll do that by telling you some things about the movie. You might recall that we showed the trailer for it in the parish hall in one of our Sunday school classes about, I think, maybe 6 weeks ago or so. And we also showed an interview with Lee Strobel. And that sort of inspired Sherry and me to go and see the movie this week. And I wasn't disappointed. It's enjoyable, it's inspiring, and I invite you to go see it. Strobel is just 4 years younger than me, and so he, like I did, grew up in the 60s, and he was a young adult at a time when our generation was rebelling somewhat, you might say, against some of the many long-held values of our parents and grandparents. For many of us, it was disagreement with the war in Vietnam. In Strobel's case, it was his parents' religion. And he became an avowed atheist, and neither he nor his wife, Leslie, would have anything to do with the church in the early years of their marriage. They wouldn't even talk about the possibility of the existence of God. For them, and especially for Lee, it was a time of working hard to move up in his career as a journalist in Chicago. The Strobels were young and they had the world by the tail. There was just no need for God and no desire on their part to look for Him. However, that began to change for Leslie after their daughter was born. A series of personal events led her to question the idea that there was no God. When a friend of hers invited her to church, she went. Willow Creek Church, Pastor Bill Ibles. It doesn't get any better or bigger than that. As she tried to explain to Lee afterwards, she felt something in that service. Something significant. Something that she could not explain, but something that she was certain was very real. Real, he exploded. What could possibly be real about somebody standing up in front of a bunch of gullible people and telling fairy tales about an imaginary higher being? How can you swallow that stuff? I thought we agreed that we would base our lives on what is real and what is true. There is no factual evidence that Jesus was the Son of God. All of that is storybook stuff. And that storybook, the Bible, is fraught with contradictions and historical errors. No, there's no way you can keep going to that church. I forbid it. But she did. And she started to study her Bible and to pray, and she included their daughter in her spiritual journey. All of which caused Lee to become more and more distant. And their marriage began to slowly unravel as Leslie changed. Even though Lee would, if asked, grudgingly admit that some of her new personality was for the good, he still became more and more angry and anxious about who she was becoming and what that might mean for their relationship and his role in it. So much so that he decided to use his journalistic training to research the factual background of Christianity and to prove that, to her, that the whole resurrection story is a myth. And that's what he sets out to do, and that's what the rest of the movie is about. So now let's turn our attention to another story about searching for the truth of the resurrection. This one from the 20th chapter of John. That chapter opens on the morning of the resurrection, and we find the disciples confused and unsure about what to believe. In the verses immediately preceding the ones we read this morning, John tells us about Mary Magdalene going up to the, discovering the empty tomb. Tells us about her coming back down and telling Peter and John, and they ran up, remembered themselves, raced up and confirmed her story, went back and told the other disciples. And then Mary Magdalene comes along again a little bit later and says, on my way down, I actually saw the Lord Himself. Stunning news, to say the least. But how do the disciples react when they hear what Mary tells them? Do they run out the doors and start proclaiming the story of the resurrection to the outside world, to all who will listen? Well, no. Seems like they do just the opposite. It's more like they just sort of pull the covers back over their heads, isn't it? Because here they are, as evening approaches, we read, and they're still there, locked in the same room together, all of them right where they've been all day. All of them, that is, except Thomas. And then Jesus suddenly appears in the room, and the disciples rejoice to see Him again. And after greeting them and showing them His wounds to confirm who He is, we see that Jesus did two things. He breathes the Holy Spirit into them, and He tells them to go out and do as He has done, to spread the good news of the resurrection and to tell about God's love for the world. And then He apparently leaves just as suddenly as He came. And sometime later, Thomas returns to the house, and I'm sure he's surprised by the change in the others' moods. When he left, everyone was lower than low, and when he comes back, they're all talking at once, telling him, Jesus is alive, we've seen Him. Thomas is suspicious, to say the least. What do you mean He's alive? If He's alive, where is He? And if Jesus is the Messiah and we're His disciples, then why are we still hiding in a locked room? How can I trust what you say I need to see it for myself. I need proof. I need more than just some fantastic story. There's times when I've been in that place myself. Have you? We read the Bible stories. We pray to hear God's voice. We come to church and hang out with other disciples. But God's promise of eternal life sometimes feels just too fantastic to be true. So we long to have more, to better hear God's voice, to better understand what His plan is for our lives. Some sort of proof. We want to feel the breath of God to reassure us. We want to touch His side. We want to see His hands. We want to receive the peace of Christ. Doubts creep in. Like Thomas and the other disciples, we sometimes wonder also. Wonder if it's all really true. Wonder if it's all worth the trouble. Thomas is ready to hide behind his doubt. He's not seen the risen Lord, touched His wounds, or felt His breath. And now neither the testimony of others nor the memory of his time with Jesus is sufficient, is enough. He wants a personal encounter that would leave no doubt in his mind. And we read a week later or so, to his surprise, he gets it. Jesus returns to the same house, and this time Thomas is there. And Jesus immediately invites him to touch his wounds. Says to him, "Touch me. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answers, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus says, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe. And that's us, folks. We are blessed. Blessed because we believe without seeing. Believing without seeing was too big a step for Lee Strobel. And so for the better part of a year, he went about the work of interviewing experts in a variety of fields, crisscrossing the country. He talked to theologians, medical doctors, sociologists, historians, archaeologists, you name it. Interviewing all of them in an effort to prove or disprove once and for all whether the resurrection is a historical fact. Which consequently meant that he was gone even more often from home. And when he did come home, he was often sullen or verbally abusive to his wife, Lindsay. But all along, she kept reading her Bible, getting more and more involved in her church. She prayed daily, and she always included a prayer for her husband that was taken from the 36th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. In verse 26, the Lord says to Ezekiel, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." Take away Lee's heart of stone, she would pray. Give him a loving heart of flesh. And eventually that's what happened. Lee gave up or gave in. Although the press releases and the movie reviews claim that he became a believer and accepted Christ because his research proved the resurrection was a historical event, I tell you that's only partially true. I remember back in our early days of taking English, you know, when we used to have vocabulary tests, there was one rule that you always had to follow when you were taking a vocabulary test and having to give the definition of a word. You can't use the word in the definition of the word, or it's circular, and that's not allowed. For the same reason, I believe we can never prove the resurrection, because it ultimately gets down to believing the stories in the Bible. And you cannot prove the Bible is true by quoting from it. And that's what some of Strobel's arguments seem to do. However, all of that being said, there's no doubt that he becomes a believer. And there's also no doubt in my mind that it's in no small part because of his wife's prayers and because of the intervention of the Holy Spirit and because of what he witnessed in her. through all of his soul searching, through all of the strain and that their different beliefs put on their relationship, Leslie became more loving, more forgiving, and more understanding as she grew in her faith. And even through his disbelief, Lee saw that and ultimately had to admit that Jesus was real to her. In one of their early conversations, when he was browbeating her about the absurdity of her belief, he said, "How can you possibly know that Jesus is real?" She said, "I can feel it. When I'm in church, when I pray, when I read my Bible, I feel the love of God." "Those are just feelings," he said. "That's not evidence of anything real." "My feelings are my experiences," she said. "And they are real to me." "How can you be sure?" he said. "The same way that I'm sure of my love for you and your love for me," she said. And that's what it gets down to. The movie is inspiring because we ultimately witness a person coming to faith through the love and faith of another. Not because he uncovers any new evidence about the resurrection that we didn't already know, but because it reveals the love of God that Jesus brought into the world through his love for us. And that is something that's felt in here and not learned up there. Our faith in God will always depend on believing in something that cannot be proven. However, God's presence is real, and God's love is real. And we can experience both when we gather here, when we pray, when we study his word, when we're with other believers. That's why it's so important to be in a community of faith, to sustain that experience, to sustain the reality of the presence of Christ in our lives. Out there on our own, we will eventually lose sight of him, I guarantee it. But in here, we nurture our faith by our witness of the faith of others. That's the way it worked for the disciples and the way it works for us. Our Christian faith is formed and supported in community with other Christians. We stand on those who believe first. And we're those who believe and have not seen, but our faith rests on those, the faith of those who have gone before. Always. And Jesus says, therefore we are blessed. We are blessed by our believing without seeing. Blessed we are. Amen.